listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life broadcast for Wednesday, November 24th. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Welcome to those joining us live, and thank you to those that are joining us from the archives. We appreciate you taking time out of your week to listen. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. Now, we're going to begin with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. And those are: 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. So tonight we're going to have kind of more of a freewheeling discussion. Don't have anything specifically planned, but of course, you know, we have the American Thanksgiving coming up tomorrow. So seemed an opportune time to talk about family, both the ones you're born with and the ones that you choose throughout your life. Togetherness, the power of community and socializing. So I think we're going to have a fun chat. And Dr. Hunter, any particular place you want to start? Or are we just going to dive into the social aspect of humanity?
What's so appropriate about tonight's topic is even a discussion I had last night with a young fellow I call as, you know, my adopted son last night. And he's become part of this other group, and there's politics and so on. And so we're talking about people and how in a lifetime there's very few people you can, you know, count on. There's a lot of acquaintances, but there's always people dynamic, right? There's always some A personalities, you know, and so on. So it's different types of people. And we learn to, you know, coexist and get along with all types, but really, and we have to develop a lot of social skills for that too, but it's really about the folks we're closest to and we appreciate the most. And I know there's a history behind Thanksgiving that we don't need to get into tonight, you know, about colonialization and so on. So it really
let's talk about that though when you're done.
Okay. All right then, Michael. So, but I think that it's this appreciating these times, and especially these social times, about those who are in our inner circle, who we can feel most comfortable with, because the world doesn't always feel like a real safe place, but there really are good folks in the world. And when we
have our
own little network, you know, where you do feel safe and comfortable and accepting each other for all those, you know, little glitches and little things and, oh, so-and-so's a little OCD and this one, you know, likes things straightened out and, you know, this one prefers to eat, you know, vegetarian, and we accommodate all of those little things, but the people are good inside, and that's your network, you know. And I think that's what we're all learning to do, perhaps in a more intimate way than ever, Michael.
Absolutely. And it's, I think, kind of relearning, to be honest. I mean, human beings have been social creatures with complex social structures for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, tens of thousands of years. That always makes me just, it gives me a sense of awe, thinking about the tens of thousands of years that it passed with human beings and hunter-gatherer tribes living lives, having dreams, having hopes, you know, laughing, playing, fighting, all of it. Just thousands of years of it without any record. It's just fascinating to me. But anyway, that's a whole other side. You know, I think that it's also about the people that we choose to spend the time with. And a lot of times, you know, you get into traditions and you go home and you have family, and it's sometimes people that, you know, you don't always get along with. And I think there's value to be found in finding middle ground and being able to have a civil kind of relationship with people that are in your family, even if you disagree on things, or even if you have, you know, sometimes a rocky past. But let's not also pretend that you're required to spend time or invite somebody that's abusive or that's emotionally completely unhealthy. You know, there's a balance.
I'm glad you mentioned about extended family, because, I mean, that's where I think Dr. Kelly and myself have a direct parallel. We both left families, like blood family, behind, making some very profound changes in our lives that weren't in accord with the people we were, you know, born to, so to speak. And I know Dr. Kelly has in past talked about that quite openly, and honestly, and I don't feel I'm trespassing by mentioning that, I left a family behind and built my own extended family.
Yeah. And I mean,
even more important to me, because we choose each other, you know?
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. And I can directly relate. I didn't lose my family as much as Dad did, but it, through both distance, you know, everybody lives out west.
Well, it impacted you nonetheless, Michael.
It did. But I still have a modicum of a relationship with my family, because I was never baptized, so hence I was never an official Jehovah's Witness, hence I could never be disfellowshipped. It's an odd system. By odd, I mean, you know, emotionally cruel and painful. But what I will say is this, because of the distance, because of what happened, and because I supported my father, the relationships were tarnished, and, you know, I wasn't as close, especially after my mother had passed. So what I found in my 20s, especially in my early 20s, you know, 20, 21, 22, I started forming close relationships and friendships that I have to this day. Yeah. And friends, those close friends, the best friends, and I have always advocated you can have more than one best friend. You know, how do I choose between these people that are all family to me, that are like brothers and sisters to me, you know? And it's the family that you choose. You know?
Wendy is saying in the chat that she has done the same with her family. Yeah. And that's a really powerful, big decision. And I got to say, even at my age, there's a part of me, that dream part of me, that wishes that, you know, I had that ideal family. You know, missing the promise of that and the comfort of that, because the DNA, you know, that blood family. But the morality, the ethics, the philosophy, the lifestyle, everything just outweighs and overshadows anything that I might hope to achieve in having relationships with those people. And it is about sometimes making those hard decisions. And it's one I don't regret, I might add. I don't regret it at all. In fact, I will say this, that today is the 36th, I believe, anniversary of the passing of my mother. Eight days ago was the 36th anniversary of my brother passing. And I was thinking about time in that way, and it feels like yesterday. And, of course, my brother, I was really close to him. And when he passed, everything changed. you know, all the dynamic, everything, and it's kind of turned into a cesspool.
Ooh, you hate to hear it.
You know, and I made that decision as Wendy's adding, she's tried to make the family she wanted as a kid with her own children, and that's what I did.
And that's a wonderful thing. It's making the world that you want to live in by your choices, actions, and behaviors.
Exactly. So it was a creation that even if I'm saying this to everybody who's listening, as well as you, Michael, that I had no idea what I was doing except that I believed in something greater more. And so I would tell my kids often, I'm winging it here. There's no rule book. I didn't come from a healthy place, so I'm winging it. And I don't think I'm a great parent, but I'm a good parent. And you'll be great parents because we've broken the cycle. You know, we've moved forward. And my oldest daughter has kids. I mean, they're great parents. My second daughter chose not to have kids. My son is married. He's, you know, and again, we're estranged there too for other reasons. But I'll speak to that in a second. But from what I see and what I've heard, you know, they have a great family. So the thing with my son is he went the religion path. And I didn't fit into that scope or that picture. And fair enough. And he's got other issues. That's on him. So.
Yeah. The religious path, the dogmatic religious path, is, you know, seductive.
It is.
It's, you know, it's having the answers. It's having certainty. And, you know, there's nothing worse than the feeling of uncertainty and unknowing. That's why writers like H.P. Lovecraft struck into a certain horror when they would write about monsters that were so other from what we know that it was terrifying. It's because when we don't know, it's more terrifying than the horrors that we do.
Exactly.
That's why, you know, even the gods of ancient Greece and Romans after them, or why not Egypt? They were all these very flawed, angry, and vengeful gods that would rain pain down on humans. But it made people feel better to think that they at least knew what was going on. And that's critical. And it's also a huge aspect of, the bonding of a society is there. You know, a lot of times their religious beliefs, especially in the past, I think we've moved beyond that, thankfully. We have many multicultural societies all over the world. And yes, there's strife. But the fact that we exist as well as we do together has never before been seen on this scale in human history, and it's promising. It's easy to look at the world right now and feel the divisiveness, feel the anger, feel the problems between different groups, different cultures, different religions, between the religious and the non-religious. And
I think
it's easy to fall into that trap, but I'll just finish by saying that it's so much better than it was 100 years ago and beyond.
Well, I was just going to add in there, Michael, sometimes we just have to rise above that stuff and then move on and rise above and move forward. And just, again, find that network of people and who you feel safe and comfortable with. And it's often a very rare thing in this world, but everyone has their own little networks. And if you feel good in that and it serves you and you're serving it, then you can't ask for more. It's Wendy's saying how, she went on to feel so lucky and grateful to have all she does, and she's very close with her family, like her children, and she says, and they say all the time how much they love how she's made traditions, and we're all so close, and I'm so grateful too, Wendy. I have that with my daughters and my grandchildren, and thankfully my daughters married men who were okay with, religion out the window. So it's all really amiable, and it's warm and embracing. We're all very different characters, but we have this root sense of ourselves in who we are and, you know, being in that shared space. And I think that's the world that we're trying to. So unless you set the example for that and make those hard decisions sometimes, you know, set the example of that, we aren't moving forward, you know.
Yeah.
So, I we can do all the, you know, fluff talk we want and love everybody stuff, but the truth is that it's not easy. Sometimes it's hard work because we have to make really tough decisions. But I'm going to go back to the 9 principles of belief, and I know you read them every week, Michael, and I like to hear them because, as you know, when Dr. Kelly made those hard decisions for himself all those years ago and developing these 9 principles of belief, it kind of covers it. You know, do no harm, do the right thing. You know, very basic things about honoring yourself. And I really like that. It's kind of, I don't know, a piece of pie with 9 pieces, you know, and it all fits together. Everything flows together. and so it's, you know, it's a good thing. I think so too. If we ever get a little bit lost, refer back to those 9 principles of belief, you know. And it, to me, it just resonates. It touches your heart.
Say, well, it does.
Okay,
I think that there are certain truths that are self-evident, you know, to borrow phrases, and these are just, you know, they would be true, you know, to anybody. Eventually somebody would be able to figure these things out because they are fundamentally true. It's a lot of, like a lot of the, you know, guiding principles of Buddhism. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't buy into the whole dogma of Buddhism, obviously. You know, I think there are a lot of interesting things about the idea of reincarnation, of cycles, of, you know, the spiritual energy in that regard. But I find the Buddhist outlook to have fundamental truth, you know, the middle way.
Mm-hmm.
Between extremes. And I think that in that same, and I don't want to be so grandiose, or what's the word I'm looking for? I'm not trying to compare, but I think in the same way the 9 principles have that self-evident, you know, reality.
And touching base with ourselves and touching base with our families, and albeit extended families. And that's what's
absolutely
most valuable. And, ever get lost in the shuffle? I know I was telling Michael before the show that I went grocery shopping today, and I didn't get everything I wanted because, man, I need out of there. Holy smokes, I got to get out of here, all these people. But
yeah, was it because of the amount of people and just worrying about contagions and things, or was it just the people were being rude and brutish?
No. I have to say this, everybody. We have very few anti-maskers up here. Everybody wears a mask. Everybody is very civil that way. We get the odd people, but it's really an anomaly to see that here. It's more about the numbers of people out in the stores right now, and the fact that everybody just seems numb and not paying attention to each other. You know, it's like everybody's in a cocoon bubble, bumping into each other, butting in front of each other because, I didn't
see
you.
Oh, that's mean.
You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that stuff is no... You have to be present of your surroundings. But I had a much different experience. I went to the local supermarket here in Florida. And, you know, Florida, you know, famous. Yay. But I would say, you know, roughly 2/3 mask, which is pretty good considering. But that being said, I found it to be relatively pleasant enough. I mean, people, you know, were kind and courteous. You know, another thing I love is just, you see, because of the community I live in, there's a large racial diversity, and you see just all kinds of people from all walks of life, and everybody goes to Publix. It's kind of a thing. It's the store to go to, so... people were going for things, but it wasn't overly crowded. I also went at night, so that has something to do with it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
After work, and but you know, it wasn't bad. I expected worse because I rarely go to the store anymore. I usually have delivery services drop groceries off for me because I, you know, got used to it during the pandemic, and it's oh so easy. But I'm not going to plug anybody. I think getting back to kind of what we were talking about, you know, it was nice to have that genial quality in people relatively being respectful and, you know, kind of scooting around and getting out of the, you know, the way and being mindful.
Yeah.
And it was nice. And I think that, yeah, the holiday, I think, does bring out a nicer side in a lot of people. It, in the sense that, you know, it's a nice tradition. It's warm. It's fuzzy. And, you know, let's go ahead and we're not going to be political because that's not what we do here. But let's talk about Thanksgiving. I know it's a holiday celebrated in Canada, although I have to imagine it's based on a different origin story.
No.
Can't imagine you'd use an American one.
No.
Is it based on the same?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well,
we just have it at a different time. So.
Right. Okay. Well, of course, the American tradition is based on the original pilgrims who admittedly were Puritans. They were, you know, Christian fundamentalists and very strict, very severe. Not the kind of people you would think that would get along with indigenous tribes. But I love history. And so I'm just going to subject all of our listeners and people listening to the archive. You have no choice but to just take this little trip down history lane with me. So, the northeast of the United States, what we call New England now, it was, you know, pretty heavily populated by indigenous tribes. They were sophisticated. They had fur trading, fish trading, and they would trade with the French and the English, and they'd have some skirmishes now and again, but by and large, it was an economic relationship. And it was actually shipwrecked French sailors that gave local indigenous tribes a disease. And there's more complexity to that. It was rather that in itself was kind of a dark story. It wasn't intentional, but it did happen. And so the French captured indigenous people. So the indigenous people captured these French and held them in retribution. And as the man was dying, he was saying that they would all get sick too. And the people, the indigenous people didn't believe it at the time, but it became part of the legend that it, you know, branched out and it went from tribe to tribe. And what was a place that had been never considered for settling or colonization because of the population, because of the fact that the indigenous people there were very smart, very sophisticated. They knew that they couldn't really let people get a foothold. But this disease, they had no resistance to it, and it just tore through populations, and it was a tragic and horrifying thing. And into this situation come the pilgrims who did not, they were not people settlers. They were, you know, religious fundamentalists who had gone from England to Holland and now to the New World, as they called it. They did not prepare at all. They were not ready for this at all. They had a very, very rough time of it. After they landed, half of them died through the winter. And they kind of made contact with the indigenous, I can't remember the tribe's name off the top of my head. Please forgive me. Wampanoag? Oh, that's probably wrong. I apologize. But they were part of a larger confederation. Again, indigenous peoples, very sophisticated, very advanced. And they had agency, and they can't be discounted in their own right. They weren't a passive player. They deserved to be credited with the sophistication and ingenuity they had. So this tribe that came into contact with the pilgrims, they had been, you know, just decimated by this disease. So they were in a weakened state. They were part of a confederation that was in a weakened state. And they had adversaries to the west and north that were not. The disease had never reached them. So they allied with the English for ingenious reasons that worked out in the short term, unfortunately didn't work out in the long term. And it was because these other groups traded with the English and French too. So they thought, if we're allied with them, then they won't attack us. And that was true. And they helped the pilgrims after this horror and this winter when over half of them had died. They showed them a lot of ways to survive, and they were able to have a bounty, so they came together for days and celebrated. And what I will say is this. Those Puritan fanatics, they did think that those indigenous tribes were going to probably burn in hell. Well, not probably. They thought they were going to burn in hell after they died because they didn't accept Jesus Christ. But they maintained a peaceful relation, and they respected them throughout their lives. For the next 50 years after that, there was a peace held, and unfortunately, due to encroaching settlement and due to further colonization, that crumbled and it became much worse. But that original spirit of people coming together and people that genuinely had affection for one another from different cultures, in and of itself, that is inspirational in the harshness of it, of a people that came from a massive pandemic far worse than what we've seen, far, far worse, and from people who came from a very hard journey, and I don't agree with them. I think that they were fools in a lot of ways, but they did put aside a lot of differences, and they did accept and form friendships with these indigenous native peoples. It was their children who kind of strayed, and that's unfortunate, but what a world we could have had. And it's unfortunate that we didn't. We didn't have the world we could have had. We had a darker one because of the choices people made. It did not have to be that way. And that is worth remembering now. We choose the world we want to live in. We make decisions on a daily basis that form the world that we live in. And we have to be a positive influence. When we go to these communal dinners, be it with our friends, you know, if you're having a Friendsgiving, be it with family, it's important to be a positive force of good in that relationship, in the circle, in the sphere that you're in. We have to, again, it's not my cliche, but it is a cliche. We have to build the world we want to live in. There's truth to that. And so I know we weren't going to touch on the whole Thanksgiving thing, but we can't deny that there was atrocities. That's not a political thing. That's not a thing that's in doubt. It's a fact. It's a historic fact. But there's also another layer to it. History is complex. And so we take the good from it. We take the togetherness. We take the idea of being thankful for what we have in life in all the darkness. And especially when it's dark, especially when the world is painful and hurting us, is when we need to take the time to come together and to be thankful for at least what we do have and to find that glimmer of hope. And that hope is the fundamental aspect of being able to just make it in this world, to continue pushing on, even when things are painful, dark, dim, and they feel like there's no reason to have hope. You just got to hold on to it because we don't know what's coming down the line. I mean, Dr. Hunter, you might more than any of us, but...
Very well said, Michael. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you.
Very well said. And I'm with you all the way on that, and that's where we do choose how we want to behave and how we extend ourselves in the world. And, you know, I've said this a lot of times, I don't let them take my spirit, nor should anybody else. It's be true to yourself. Do right, no harm, you know, and to the best of your ability. You know, we have a small group in here, and I know I'm segueing, Michael, for time, but we have a small group in the chat, and you had posted if anybody would not want a card. So nobody has said anything. So should we just go ahead and pick cards? And if anybody doesn't want a card, quickly put your name in there. Say no. But we're going to go through the list as they are in the chat, if that's all right with everybody. And we're just going to do it for you.
We're going to force your destiny upon you. But yeah, so
I
start from the top.
I just want to throw in, Wendy said she's grateful for this program and all of you that join us every week, and that's from our side too, Wendy.
I've been doing
radio shows with Dr. Kelly and Michael now for 10 years. And
it's been a minute.
I know it's been a while. Where did it go? Oh, wow. I look forward to it. It's a rhythm in my week. It's a rhythm in my life. And I like our discussions. And I don't know. We just never run out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're both pretty good and, off the cuff, Michael.
I think so. And, you know, sometimes it's been, kind of right up to the wire where we really kind of think about what we're really going to be going over. But it's always been good because, anything that I'm lacking, which is so many things, anything I'm lacking, Dr. Hunter, you're right there to, you know, have this vast base of knowledge. And, you know, we can kind of play off that. Sometimes I can, you know, be the person asking the questions, and it's a good relationship. Thank you for that.
You've got my back.
Thank you for everybody joining us. Yeah. And we're going to start pulling cards un momento, but I have to point out something that Wendy shared. She shared that her company is raising money for Feeding America, a charity. And normally they would get under $100 Today, they were able to make over 300.
Awesome.
And it's nice to see people giving, and, you know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, it's that kind of time of year. And whether it's people that feel guilted into it by society or they genuinely think, you know, this is the time of Thanksgiving. Let's be kinder. Let's be a little bit more, you know, gentle with one another. Yeah. You know, I think it comes through. But, all right. So, shall we start with Jamil?
Let's start.
All right, Jamil. Inner Oracle card, number 39, Education.
Hmm.
Let's see. 39. Continual education is the key to individual and collective consciousness and personal success. Commit yourself to lifelong learning, educating yourself continually. If you don't know something, first look for the answers yourself, then ask if necessary. Gain education and advice through various sources, including people, but always strive to find your own answers. Look for lessons in life experience, situations, and circumstances. Make it your adage to listen, think, learn, grow, and live.
Well, I like that you have the Hierophant in support of that, Jamil. Education with the Hierophant is, I always think of the home and the routines and the stability, and in some ways it can be conformity, for sure. But I think you find your own rhythm that you conform to. So it's things that you more choose. So while you're learning, educating yourself, and progressing, you have this nice foundation. And I think a fairly comfortable place. So that's kind of a reinforcement to you, I think, to look around and say, yeah, I got this. This is good. I'm ready to learn more because I'm in a good place for that. That's what I feel from that, Jamil.
Very nice. I love it.
Yeah. Audra's next.
All right. Audra, I have number 28, Do No Harm, Do Right. Good time of year for Do No Harm, Do Right. Well, every time is a good time of year for Do No Harm, Do Right. Do No Harm, Do Right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm and do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Audra, what's interesting is I pulled out the King of Spades, King of Swords in that. And so it's just a moment where I want to say you might be challenged with somebody in a position of authority, somebody, you know, maybe that type A type, you know, where it's stay true to who you are and how you manage that, how you handle that authority. Use your skills, your thinking, and I want to say don't feed the opposition what it likes to have, which is more reason for debate. So if that helps you in a situation when dealing with authority, do no harm and do the right thing. Sometimes we just have to shake our heads and rise above and say, this isn't worth the conversation. So I hope that helps you. And so keep a heads up is what I'm saying.
Very good. Very good. And our card keeper, Wendy, is going to be our next card victim of the evening, since we're kind of foisting it upon people.
Yep.
Oh, wow, Audra. Got some repeats. Interesting. All right. But moving on to Wendy, number 24, Truth. Let's see. There are many ways to discover cosmic truth. It begins with knowing who you are and why you are who you are. This is your truth. Discovering cosmic truth involves further discovering the truths that are often concealed within a relationship or life situation. Yet the only truths kept secret are those we will not see. This is a time of deep introspection to intuitively gauge the way ahead. This card may indicate that there is truth in something or in a direction.
You know, not unlike what we pulled for Audra, Wendy, the Emperor is here, and I thought, well, now who is that? And so I pulled out another card, and it's the Five of Spades. So here's what I'm going to say to you. Again, dealing with authority. and dealing with people in authority. When you have truth with that is kind of, and I'm not saying make excuses for people, but just know that there's always, everybody has a story, and not everybody handles stress and pressure very well. And sometimes people come across as to overcompensate. So when you're dealing with somebody in a position of authority who's not particularly behaving well, just know that they could be just having a really bad day. I'm not saying excuse them. It's not always excusable, but it's kind of see the light in all of it, and it won't stick with you so much. So we don't let those things eat at us. That's mostly the reason for that. So I hope that helps for you too in some way, Wendy.
All right. And I believe we have Charles next.
Nice to see you, Charles.
Glad to have you. I have number 7, self-mastery. I don't know if we pulled that one in a while. To know who you are and why you are who you are is self-actualization. To choose and walk your own path is self-determination, giving inner peace. Not allowing others to dictate your behavior is self-control. Remain true to your convictions. This is self-mastery towards the path of self-completeness.
Now, in support of that, Charles, is the Fool. Now, some people say, ooh, that's a weird card. I like the Fool. It's the first card in the Major Arcana. And what it is about leaping forward, new beginnings. And, of course, if you go too far, you can fall off a cliff. That's the flip side. But self-mastery and the Fool is, again, what we were talking about tonight, designing your own fate, designing your own pathway. And, saying to yourself, I'm ready to take on new things. I'm ready to move forward. And so you are... Let's just say, I want to say to you, designing a new life and still formulating, those ideas in your head of what that looks like. But that's good because now the energy starts to move. So that's exciting for you, Charles. It is.
Very nice. All right. And Dr. Bridget, you're up.
She's up.
We got another one in the 20s. We have deliberate intent, number 20.
Okay.
Let's see. The simple act of intention registers your wants and desires with the universal consciousness, which then sets energy in motion for their attainment. Deliberate intent is focusing your intent like a laser, causing you to become entangled with whatever it is that you desire. It's not magic, and it requires effort. Focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Release with patience.
Oh, Bridget, I got the Tower. In support of that. Now, again, somebody might look at that and say, ooh, a negative. I don't see it that way. Deliberate intent. Everybody knows through the course studies that Dr. Kelly talks about cognitive dissonance, how we are in denial for secondary gains. What you're doing here is letting those secondary gains go. So the Tower, in essence, to me, is... anything that no longer has value in your life, it starts to fall away, but you have the foundation of your life to build from. So your deliberate intent, as you're projecting for other things, other stuff is just going to fall away. And there might be a grieving time, like a moment where you say, oh, but I really like that, but it's just not that important to me now. So you're rebuilding your house, so to speak, rebuilding some ideas for yourself, but you have the foundation to start with, so I don't feel there's a lot of stress there or worry. It's just a little ingenuity and, putting your energy forward. And I find that really exciting. I do. I say, that's good. Anything that I don't need anymore, out the door.
Oh, I hold on to everything, I tell you. It's and Dr. Hunter, Dr. Bridget had said that that explains exactly what's been going on lately.
Oh,
and
good.
Really touched on. So,
awesome.
All right.
Michael,
Dr. Jeff,
go ahead. Can we inject here for a sec before we read for Dr. Jeff? He was writing earlier in the chat that he appreciates this group too, especially recently. And as of this past Monday, he said goodbye to his canine buddy, who was very old, had a very good life. I know that Dr. Jeff has a new service dog, and that fills a void, but it's not the same as somebody that you've shared, you know, so many years with. And for that, our heart is with you, Jeff.
Absolutely.
And we know that your guy had a good life, and he's at peace now. So, you know, we'll let that go. But we're here for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, you're right. Service dog, any dog, is going to help bring joy to the soul.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you're not going to mourn a lost friend. We all do. And it's proper and right. But, you know, we're here with you, absolutely. So let's see what we have for you tonight, Dr. Jeff. All right. wild card number 4, unknowable. All right, let's see. There are mysteries in the universe, and not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, you got good news on the way, Jeff. And you got the Page of Hearts in support of that, so the Page of Cups. Now, my old teacher Magda explained, and she believed this, that the major and minor arcana in the tarot were two different tribes with different languages, and they merged them. And they added that page card as the communicator, that bridge. So I often see that as that in-between place, that place that bridges both sides, that place that, you know, in one manner or another, serves as a communicator. So when you have the unknowable, which is profound in itself, I love that card, and then you have the Page of Hearts, is somewhere in an unknown way, an unforeseeable way, good news is on the way to you. So it could be somebody making you an offer, could be somebody in a conversation giving you an idea, but I see that something is opening up for you. And it's going to come in the way of a communication. So that's exciting. And it's something that you don't know about because it's unknowable at this moment. But it will be knowable later. Yeah.
That's a lot of times it's life in a nutshell, isn't it?
I know it is. So Wendy is saying she thinks that Dr. Michael and Dr. Vicky should get cards tonight too. How do you feel about that, Michael?
Oh, I don't want to know my future. All right, so
you pick one for yourself. You pick yours for yourself, and I'll pick one for you. How's that?
Sounds good. All right, I'm going to be non-biased. I'm not going to pick out my favorite card. Let's see what we got. Random.
Okay.
Number 14. Energy shift, new chapter.
Ooh.
All right. And what is coming along with number 14? Energy shifts are a natural result from increased awareness, knowledge, and new attitudes that naturally open new chapters in one's life. It's an excellent time to clarify your vision during this time of shifting energy. Reflect, gather your energy, breathe, and step forward with a renewed sense of direction. Out with the old and in with the new. Really should have substituted your with my in that sense, but as it is a little self-serving, but yeah, that's a... You know, it does kind of hit. I am in a new phase and chapter of my life.
Well,
you know, we go through plateaus, and then we move into new phases and new realms. And,
well, I think you've just settled, Michael. You've got a new pooch there. You just moved into your new house. That all makes sense. And I have the Six of Hearts in support of that. So, and in that is, the Six is service, social, family, commitments, and when you have about the heart, it's building a new little community for yourself. That's what I see out of that. Well, kind of what we've been talking about earlier is, you know, you're forging ahead with this, you know, new family. Of course, you have your family. It's Thanksgiving. But I'm talking about new kinds of relationships building.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I do, too. Good for you.
All right. Now, what do we have in store for Dr. Hunter? That's the real question. That's what everybody's... All right. So what kind of therapy is Dr. Hunter going to have? Let's see. And we've been building to it all night. We have wild card number 8, freedom.
Oh.
That is perfect for you.
I love that.
Freedom is a state of being. It's an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, for myself, I selected the 7 of Hearts, which is the 7 of Cups in tarot language. And, you know, it's a twofold thing. 7 of Hearts is about creating dreams, creating new imageries. And the flip side is, you know, some things can be an illusion and not real at all.
Yeah.
So being careful about the fantasies versus what the real dreams are. But the freedom with that about... with the 7 of Hearts to me is a good message about continue to create and set new goals no matter how unconventional they might be. So I'm pumped by that. I like it.
Very nice. It's an interesting thing pulling a card for yourself.
It is. You know, I'm going to just share a little story before we close tonight, Michael. Many years ago, and I say many decades, I had a really good friend named Shelley who I would teach her the old ways of tarot reading, and man, she's a natural. We would sit down at the kitchen table and ask random questions together, her with her deck, me with mine, to see how many cards could come up the same. Fascinating. It was mind-blowing in synchronicity sometimes, because the math to have the same card, each of us having the same card in the same position, each in our own deck of 78 cards, is almost unheard of. But that's what would happen. Now, Shelley and I lost track of each other, and she had been married at the time. Anyway, life went on, kind of lost track. I found her via Facebook. And
as one does.
As we do. And I reached out to her a few months ago. And, oh my God, she was so excited. She's since been divorced, living her life. And I'm just a couple of years older than she is. So, you know, a lot of things have happened now. She has a grandchild also, et cetera, et cetera. And she has not explored doing readings for people very much. And, you know, but she'd always say how much she learned. And anyway, last Sunday, we got on the phone together to have a phone visit and decided to go on video and each of us having our own deck of tarot cards. And let's see if we're still in sync. Now, I have tried this with other people and it doesn't work particularly well. But with Shelley, so you're going to talk about that extended family and, you know, that's like a, I don't know, I call her a spirit sibling is what she is. We got on video and started asking questions, and I tell you, Michael, there was sometimes when if you lay 12 cards on a table, 3 out of the 12 were exactly the same in the same position.
Mm.
Mathematically, that's almost impossible. It makes me want to buy a lotto ticket. But it's about exploring. So when we pull cards, it's about talking to the unconscious. And some of us have, you know, bolder connections in that than others.
Yeah.
Some of us have more emotional connections. Some of us have intellectual connections, but we're all still connected. And Shelley's one of those people that we value each other a great deal. What she said to me the other day, and to get perspective on it, my retort to her, she said, "Vicki, I owe you so much for all that you taught me." She said, "I owe you a big debt." And I said, "Oh, stop right there. Who's to say I wasn't repaying you a debt?" So I think whatever it is, we'll just call it square. Because it's the value of that friendship. And to me, it's like a sisterhood, you know, that, and now as of course we're in these years of our lives and we see things differently, it's changed its expression, but that connection hasn't, you know, that wonderful connection. And it's just a story that I wanted to share, you know, when given the opportunity. But when we, again, when we have these little messages for everybody, it's a way of tapping into that unconscious, super consciousness, Akashic records, whatever it is. And if it gives us a moment of, oh, you know, or, oh, I hadn't thought about it that way. Oh, that's really encouraging. You know, that's what it's to do to us. Keep us thinking, you know, keep us moving forward. So I value everybody here, and I say this from the bottom of my heart. When I have people in my life like Shelley, my children, and I have a handful of other women friends, I couldn't be more grateful for that. But I'm so grateful for you, Michael, and for everybody here.
Thank you.
So this Thanksgiving, ours has come and gone in Canada, but I'll be thinking about you tomorrow.
Well, thank you. And I am thankful for you. I am thankful for our group, our little community of the curious that comes together every week to explore the world around us. And I appreciate everything that you add. And this is echoing Wendy in the chat saying that she, you know, honestly says that she wishes that we were all sitting with her at the table tomorrow. And Wendy,
I
wish I was there too. Not because, lucky you, not because you're just a wonderful person, Wendy, but also because you're a wonderful chef.
Oh, see, Jamil is saying he's going to astral project you. We'll do it together, Jamil.
Well, our thoughts are going to be with each other. And so as we kind of wrap up tonight, you know, it's, go ahead, Dr.
I was just going to tell Wendy, if she hears things rattling, it's just me and Jamil.
Well, I don't know how long a drive it is, but to Mid-America there, but no, it's been a great talk. I'm thankful for, you know, having this. I'm thankful for coming here and talking with you, Dr. Hunter, every week. And again, I'm thankful for the, you know, the dash of spice that comes from our live audience that listens to these broadcasts and adds their own perspectives, because that's what I want, is more perspectives. None of us has the full picture, not even a fragment of the full picture. So we have to try to open ourselves to as many perspectives and different ways of thinking as possible. So thank you all for that. And any last thoughts, Dr. Hunter?
Well, Audra is saying we're all going to meet at Wendy's tomorrow, 2 p.m., but I'm wondering, it's at 2 p.m. Central Time, 2 p.m. Pacific Time.
Well,
where are you, Audrey?
I mean,
Eastern Time?
To be fair, since the world revolves around me, shouldn't it be Eastern Time?
Well, if we synchronize exactly what time it's going to be, I will project myself. I promise you guys, I'll be there.
All right, so we're going to put Wendy's personal information in the chat, so that's why you should join live.
I think Wendy's
so,
on Central.
So we're going to have her address, phone number, and social security number, but don't, you know, don't misuse it. But
all right, thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We're going to be here next week, next Wednesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And, you know, until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.